In the book of Peter, the second chapter, the 21st verse, we find, "For even unto where ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishops of your souls." If I had a topic for today, it would be, when's the last time someone told you remind them of someone? You may be seated. When's the last time someone told you that you remind them of someone? I'd like to say thank you to Reverend Jones for giving me this opportunity to fellowship with you guys and be a messenger. I'm just excited to see some of the people that follow my ministry and some people that actually work with me out in the world. This young man here, Mr. Raymond Felder, you could just wave your hand. He's a part of the company that God has blessed me with. So seeing this guy out here in the congregation has really blessed my heart. And then you have Reverend Peacock here. This is my childhood friend here. And I believe that there is a word on today. If y'all could just bear with me, because this has been a week for me. This has been a week for me. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. Oh, bless his name. Come on, church, worship. Don't look at me. Let's worship. Yes. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Worship, worship. Let them in. Let them in. Let the church say yes. Yeah. When is the last time someone has told you you remind them of someone?
All right.
This scripture has stuck out to me because here we find the greatest example of all. And for me, I remember as a child growing up, I would run into people and they'd tell me, "Man, you remind me of somebody that I met. Or you remind me of somebody that I ran across." And I began to ask them, "Well, who was it that you ran across? Or who is the people? Because it ain't me." And they would begin to describe a certain person. And I would then tell them that that is not me. So now, we see here in the greatest example of all, there were some things that Jesus went through. There were some sacrifices that was made. And as I read the good book of Peter, I realize that there was some submission that had to take place. And family, as us being believers of Christ, we oftentimes live this life wondering, why is it we go through the things we go through? Searching for answers. Taking money from people to pay other people back and still in debt. I'm a victim. People talk bad about us, and we quick to want to get them just because we feel that it's better if we get the up on the other personnel. But I'm reminded on verse 21, it says, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ has also suffered for us, leaving us example that ye shall follow his steps. And as I read this scripture, I realized that this was a form of endurance. This is a form of endurance. I believe that us as a people, we were called to put up with harsh circumstances and people because we're following someone who has suffered for us. So because we're following someone who has suffered for us, church, I stop by to tell you that during this walk of life, there will be suffering. Verse 22 says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Guile is trickery, deception. Have you ever been tricked? I'm not talking about trick-or-treat now, but have you ever been tricked? Peter is quoting here something that was discovered in the book of Isaiah. So Peter was quoting something that he had already seen. And now we see in Peter, the 22nd chapter to the 24th chapter, verses that we've found out that there were some things that took place. And then he was reviled and reviled not again. He was reviled and reviled not again. He was reviled and reviled not again. He was criticized and criticized not again. He was condemned and condemned not again. His name was slandered and he slandered not again. Have your name ever been slandered? Yes. Have folk write you off and God wrote you on? Yes. I'm a living witness and a testimony. As we see in the 24th chapter, verse 24, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. So when you bear something, you've carried or you recovered, or you laid on a tree. Love with extravagance is what we find in this scripture. Love with extravagance, because Jesus so loved the world that he gave his only son. So we find love with extravagance. Love with extravagance. In the 25th verse, for ye were as sheep going astray, but now returned unto the shepherd and the bishops of your souls. So, church, I won't be before you long, but I thought I'd break down a few of the scriptures so you know what the wording means. As you see in the 25th verse, it says astray. So into sin, into error, away from straight and narrow, off the right course, into the wrongdoing. And your light was going dull. But yet Christ has restored, rejuvenated, and revived your spirit. So, I believe that this is a miracle to be experienced and grace to be received. I honestly cannot be all that God has created me to be if I do not grow in this grace. And the people around me do not show me this grace. Because as we see in the text, Jesus, he was talked about. He was attacked. He was abused. He experienced heartbreak. He experienced heartache. But in the 25th verse, I found out that Jesus was displaying patience. In the midst of all that went on, he displayed patience. He displayed patience. I believe that he is calling for nothing less than a death to what we are by nature, and a new life radically different from the way and lifestyles that we were born into. I believe that he is calling for nothing less than a death to what we are by nature, and a new life radically different from the way and lifestyles that we were born into. And this calling that we witnessed together here in Peter shows us that we were called to be hurt for doing right and to bear it without bitterness or revenge, because Christ suffered. This calling that we witness together here in Peter shows us that we were called to be hurt for doing right and to bear it without bitterness or revenge, because Christ first suffered. This suffering in your life in Christ are not condemnation for sin, but discipline for holiness. You'll find that in 1 Peter 1:6-7 in your Bibles. when you have time, you can check it out. So living in this world, I as a human being, I tend to want to see how can I walk this life without being sabotaged. How can I come and stand before you and preach this word, and the minute that I fall in a far country, you put your mouth on me? How can I continue to be who I am called to be? We come to church, and we come for a word, and when we get here, there is no change. But we go out into this far country, and we put our mouth on whoever has delivered the word. Because it was not receptive to us. But we are living this life trying to figure out, how do I know that what I'm doing is going to get me into heaven? Well, we see the greatest example of all. And living in this far country out in the world, I've discovered that I'm flesh and I'm human. And I'm sorry, but if you do something to me, I have to react in my flesh. But how can I change from reacting in my flesh to showing people the greatest example of all? When I walk past people, they should see a shadow of Christ. Have you ever been in a room and it's a bunch of alcohol, liquor? I have. It's a bunch of alcohol and liquor. And your pastor walk in there and everybody just, oh, don't say that. They'll go pastor. Put the liquor up. They'll go pastor. Oh, drop the cigarette. They'll go pastor. We start feeling some type of conviction. But we don't live this way day to day. Why is that? You're looking at a victim. And as I really dissected this word, I tried to find out, well, if this is the greatest example of all, and this is the life that I'm supposed to live, then why is it so hard, although a sacrifice has been made? The sacrifice was already made. So why is it so hard? But we're living in a world full of non-believers. So people are not going to think like you. People are not going to act like you. People are not going to live and exemplify Christ. If you look at Hebrews 12, 3 through 11, the suffering of Christians are not by divine condemnation, because that is what Christ bore for us. 1 Peter 2, 24 and Galatians 3 and 13, that's why our sufferings come just as often from doing what's right as from what's doing what's wrong. So we don't see it as a divine condemnation, but we see it as a divine calling. Today is a day that I believe that before we go into this next season, that some of us need to accept our calling. And our calling is to walk, talk, show, exemplify Jesus Christ. So he died for us that we may suffer like him. But during the suffering, how do we survive when we've lost all hope? He died for us so that we may suffer like him. But during the suffering, how do we survive when we have lost all hope? Lost all focus. Lost all faith. Forgot all about creation. The answer is God in heaven, found in Matthew 6 and 18. Matthew 6, 4, 6, and 18. As we live this day-to-day life and this Christian walk and journey, it can be very tiring trying to live like Jesus. It can be very draining trying to live like Jesus. Because when we were born into this world, there were some things that we were exposed to that was not of the Lord. And the things that we were exposed to excited our flesh. So until we crucify our flesh, till we come to ourselves, and start walking the greatest example of all, then will we make it through. But what happens when you're tired of doing and giving and ready to throw in a towel? Go to Romans 12, 19 and 20. Like when I started this message, I told you that this is a miracle to be experienced and grace to be received. Many times we go to church and the sermons are good because we're learning and we're hearing about God's grace. But what happens when we hear about God's grace and forget about making a sacrifice? We forget about his mercy. This is a miracle to be experienced today, and grace to be received. It's a promise to be believed. And it's a time that you can come to yourself and see who really Jesus is. I stopped by to tell you, church, that God sees every wrong that's done to you. But my question is, will you remain on fire for Jesus after the day? Will you continue to be the light in the world? Not the light of the world. Because John 9 and 5 says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so I've realized that living this life, that if we're lukewarm, darkness and light cannot fellowship. So there's a decision that you must make on today. Many of you are going through many things outside in the world. And I believe that after today, if you make a decision to give your heart, soul to the Lord, things will change. And so, as we read in the book of Peter, I believe that this is what it means to be conscious of God. In the midst of your pain. Yes, in the midst of your pity. If you believe, then you will hand your life over to God.
Go ahead and preach, Reverend. Go ahead.
And if you give your life to the Lord, you will then gain a new peace. If you give your life to the Lord, you will gain a new hope. If you give your life to the Lord, you will gain a new joy. Yeah, this is what it means to be conscious to God. If you believe what the word of the Lord say, now your freedom of love has come. Your freedom of heartache has come. Your freedom of misery has come. And if you make a decision, yes, you will come out. This story here is the greatest example, of all. Because we found out that once we give our heart to the Lord, He will then, He will give you an ear to hear His voice. So as you are going through this walk of life, you will find out that your peace is in the Lord. But how can you have peace if you don't know the Lord? Many times we come to church sitting like a chosen frozen, waiting on the best word to be presented to your soul. But when you read the word of God for yourself, you will find that you can prophesy to yourself. You can speak life to a dead situation. I'm reminded of the 25th verse. It reminds me of a story about a prodigal son. And when his prodigal son went to a far country, he was eating pig and swine. But when he came to himself, when he came to himself, some people want to come to themselves tonight. Some people ready to come to themselves tonight. There's a decision that you must make. Once God draws you in, He'll pull you in. But you have to want Him for yourself. Today is a day
to make a decision. Yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm reminded of I'm reminded of Barbas. Barbas. Barbas was Barnabas. There we go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Barnabas. There were people that chose Barnabas over Jesus Christ. Barabbas. I apologize. Yeah, there we go. And so now here we are. And there is a decision to make. And if you make this decision today to choose Jesus Christ, then you will die to your worldly ways. Now, when you accept Jesus Christ today, you see here in Scripture that it's not going to be easy on this road. You're going to fall short to the glory of God. You're going to want to waver. But we are imperfect people. Serving a perfect God. And He knows our heart. So although we go through things in this book of life, let's be mindful of who we're representing.
All right.
It's my prayer, young people, that as we continue to come to church and be shown the way to go.
All right.
That when it's our time to make our own decisions, that we don't astray from God. When's the last time someone has told you that you remind them of Jesus? When's the last time someone has told you that they see your light shining? When's the last time someone has told you that it's going to be okay? Church, I'm about to take my seat. But as believers of Christ tonight, I want it to resonate in our spirits that we serve a sovereign God. That we serve a God that can heal. That we serve a God that we can call on. We serve a good God. 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 And you still sitting down. We serve a good God. 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 We serve a marvelous God. We serve a marvelous God. We serve a good God. We serve a good God. Has he been good to you? Has he made a way out of no way? Has he been good to you? Has he made a way out of no way? We serve a good God. We serve a good God. We serve a good God. When's the last time you called on him? When's the last time you called on him? Saying, Jesus, what can I do for you? Not Jesus, what can I have? But what can I do for you? We serve a good God. We serve a good God. When is the last time? When is the last time you called on him? Saying, what can I do for you? Not what can you do for me? What can I do for you? What can I do for you? What can I do for you? Yes, living in this life. Living in this life. Living in this life. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? Living in this life. What can I do? Let's get started.